All right, good morning, everyone. We're going to get started with a few announcements. You might have heard a little bit in the background, a little music playing. That was Ashes to Crowns. They are a band that is going to be at the Northeast Alliance Church. And this is a letter that they sent to us. Hello, fellow church. We'd like to invite your congregation to our upcoming concert on Friday, July 10th at 7 p.m. that we are hosting at our church for our missions weekend. We hope that you'll share this with your congregation and then print and post the attached poster. The concert is free and open to the public. We will also be hosting a missions breakfast on Saturday, July 11th, at 9 a.m. that everyone is welcome to attend as well. We look forward to fellowship with you and hope that you will join us for this wonderful night of music. So if you're interested in doing something like that, again, that's July 10th at 7 o'clock. That's Friday, July 10th, 7 o'clock. We have a few more announcements in the list here. One is that there is a 50th anniversary for the Einfelts. There's a card for them out in the front. If you could sign that for them, write them an encouraging letter. I believe Sonia is not doing well at all physically. I don't know. Does anybody have more information on her? Yep.
They are retired
missionaries that we have
that we've supported all along. She's got cancer, and they gave her like a year and a half, and she was just wanted to make it to her 50th anniversary, and here they are. They are they're missionaries we've supported for years and years.
She's basically under hospice care type of thing at this point.
So if you have the opportunity and you want to write something for them, there is a card outside that we'll be sending out sooner than later. also, I don't know if these were in every bulletin or handed out, but my daughter, Selah, is going to be having a graduation party, and that will be at our house July 19th from 1 to 3. So, you know, mechanical bowls, bouncy houses, it'll be off the chains for sure. or maybe not, you know. You'll have to just wait and see. But yeah, that's her graduation party, July 19th, 1 to 3. So just leave right from church and come on over. Any other announcements? Anything that's not in the bulletin? Yep, Stephanie? Okay, great. Okay, also you might have seen the little note at the bottom of the bulletin there that we're going to get some leaf guards on the church. So that'll be happening somewhere around the end of this month, which is nice considering the amount of leaves and other things we have. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your provision in so many ways, from the leaf guards to helping our children to graduate and to go on to continue with careers and lives of ministry and all sorts of different directions that they go to. And you're involved in everyone from military to college to higher education. We just thank you for your hand in all of that as we as parents just wonder what else it is that we could do for them, and not always knowing what the best thing to say or do is. You are more than capable and more than aware of exactly what we need and what they need. And I just pray that we would remember that. Pray for the Einfelds. I thank you that you've brought them to this 50 years of marriage, and what a blessing they've been to so many people around the world. And we just thank you for the Northeast Church, the Northeast Alliance Church, and their opportunity to just minister to people in music, breakfast, and to raise money and awareness of missionaries all over the world, spreading the gospel. I thank you for this small ministry to the seniors, just Senior Refresh, a chance to do good and to love our neighbor and to give opportunities to fellowship and to catch up with old friends and to enjoy a good meal together. Thank you for this time now to worship. A time to learn, a time to grow as a family in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. On the screen, there'll be the song, My Country, Tis of Thee. We're going to sing the first and fourth verses of that song, My Country, Tis of Thee. Of the pilgrims.
So being our country's 250th birthday, we thought it would be appropriate to do the Pledge of Allegiance today, and then as a church, this year, we're celebrating our 200th anniversary, and so we thought it would be also appropriate to do a pledge to the Christian flag and to the Bible. So you'll find those pledges on the back of your bulletin. Many of you grew up doing these in Vacation Bible School, but we're going to stand together and first do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay? And then the Christian flag. It was interesting. My oldest granddaughter's just bought a new home and her husband moved in, and the neighbor across the road has hanging on his porch the American flag and the Christian flag that he had hanging there on his porch. So it just kind of reminded us where his allegiance were. Okay? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Okay, and then our pledge to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Okay, you may be seated. As we talk about pledges and pledging allegiance, in Joshua 24, what we'll be looking today, it is a challenge here to commit your allegiance. Who is it you're going to be committed to, pledge your allegiance to? And so our scripture reading comes from Joshua 24, verses 14 through 23. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel.
If you have your hymn books and want to turn there at page 2, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. And it will also be on the screen as well.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Praise him.
Now's our time of prayer and praise. If you have something you would like to share. Yes, so yeah, Ed Strine, my Uncle Ed, is having his brain surgery on Wednesday. At least he's scheduled for it. Can you repeat that, Hannah? Okay, Uncle.
Yeah, Becky.
Francis Wade. Okay. I was thinking that. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes, my other Uncle Ed. Ed Tanner has an ongoing struggle with his hip. Popped out again last week. Okay. So we have the camping season has begun, and we're gonna. There are a lot of young people going there. We should keep them in prayer as they're there. The Lord will work in their hearts. David. And it's a good reminder, we celebrated 250 years as a nation this year, which is it's a cool thing to reflect on. This nation has been around for 250 years. Right? God has blessed our nation. You live in a place where you have freedom to worship, and it's an anomaly in the world. It's good to reflect on that and just be grateful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can gather together and worship you and praise you and learn more about you and grow in our understanding of you, Lord. We raise up so many people that are dealing with difficulties. We think of Ed Strine going in for another brain surgery this Wednesday, Lord. We pray that you bless him in the midst of this difficulty, Lord, that would go as well as it can, and you would be with him, give him confidence in you in the midst of this, and just be with him and with those who go with him as well to calm their hearts and help them to look to you as their only hope, Lord. Pray for Carol Camp in the hospital, that you would work in that situation to give her relief and give her comfort, and that you would be her source of strength there, Lord. Pray for Francis Wade and the condition of his heart, Lord, and that you would work there and be with that family as they surround him as well, Lord. And We think of Ed and this hip that is an ongoing problem for him, a source of frustration, and that he would be able to get this sorted out and be able to have freedom of movement in his life again, once again, at some point. We thank you for all those that have come alongside him, his wife and his neighbors and his sister, Lord, and just the way that they are able to minister to him in a time of difficulty. We pray you'd continue to sustain him and he would continue to look towards Christ as his source of hope in the time of difficulty, Lord. We pray for all these young campers that are heading to Bethany Camp. We think of Caden and Elizabeth and the twins and so many young people from our church and from surrounding communities that will be attending and have the opportunity to be immersed in a Christian camp for a full week. We pray that you would work in their hearts, work in their minds, that they would grow closer to you and that they would form friendships with other believers that would be beneficial. And we thank you for that ministry. We pray that you bless it, that you continue to bless it. Praise you along with David for the ability for his family to make a trip down south and to visit David and have a little vacation and be able to relax. And we thank you for the sustaining grace you showed them through travels and through heat that we are not used to from up here, Lord. And we thank you for just the opportunities to get away and to be with family. We thank you for your continuing mercy to us as a nation, Lord, and that we are not worthy of the blessings and grace and mercy that you show us, and yet you are gracious to us. We're grateful to be part of this nation that has endured for 250 years. We ask that as a nation we would honor you above all else. Help us as believers to be witnesses and lights to those around us of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and of our need for Christ on a daily basis. Please bless this time that we have today, and as we worship you and praise you, and in Christ's name, amen.
We're going to be a little special number right now. As they come up to get ready to sign, they're also going to do a special number for you. And then we'll have our worship songs after that.
She's up. All right, this is the Sunday school. They don't all like be up here like the other kids. But we learned a song that illustrates the Bible verse that says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. It talks about a blind man and a beggar man searching, saying, show me the way. But they're not necessarily asking for the way to heaven. Jesus ministered to a lot of people who didn't know the way to heaven or didn't know anything. They didn't know they needed heaven, and he showed them the way. So this is what the song is about. Ready? Watch me. Everybody? Blind man stood by the road, and he cried. Blind man stood by the road and he cried. Blind man stood by the road and he cried. He cried, oh, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. The way to go home. And the man sat by the road and he cried.
song, so we're going to stand. If you feel like you can't stand during the song, that's fine. Just sing from sitting down. But otherwise, stand and sing. We're going to start with the song, Sing to the King.
Oh, can I?
because of all that, we just want to sing a song of gratitude to him.
Yesterday marked the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. How many of you have read the Declaration of Independence? Well, I'm going to read you three paragraphs out of it. In the middle is a whole section that voices their grievances about why they are doing what they do. But we're going to read the first and second and last paragraph. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their power, their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizes its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let these facts be submitted to a candid world. And then there's this whole list. The last paragraph says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the great state of the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all the other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Now, when you hear Declaration of Independence, we emphasize the freedom no longer under the British Crown. But I want you to catch for a moment what's said at the end of that paragraph, and that is, "For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." They declared independence from Britain, but dependence upon each other and on divine providence. It says we mutually pledge. A pledge is a promise or an agreement, and they're saying, "We commit our lives, our futures, and our sacred honor to uphold this new form of government and the principles on which we have upheld them." And if you've read much history, you know for a lot of them, it cost them their lives. It cost them their lives of the families, it cost their fortunes. What they pledged to give, they were often called to sacrifice. Early in this service, you recited the Pledge of Allegiance. Was it just a recitation, or was it a pledge? See, we recite lots of things, but when you're reciting that, do you understand what kind of commitment you're making and why? At the same time, there's this little reminder, it is a question of allegiance. I pledge allegiance. Allegiance is the duty of being loyal to one's ruler, country, or cause. You also recited a pledge to the Christian flag and to the Savior for which kingdom it stands. And to God's authoritative word, the Bible. Again, I ask, was that just a recitation or was that a pledge? So with allegiance comes this idea of it demands service. The allegiance means I'm going to carry out the duties or the responsibilities of this position or of this office. Some cases that mean military service. In other cases, it's just saying, as an American citizen, you have certain responsibilities that you are committed to uphold and to practice and to do. And so the question comes, well, why would you pledge allegiance to anything? You know, don't we want just, I want to be free. In America, I want to be free to be me. And everybody else hopes that you're not free to be you because it's going to make life miserable for the rest of us. But we all think that way. But you pledge allegiance because you believe in the cause or the benefits provided by that person or organization. You know what's at the end of the Pledge of Allegiance? Why you make that pledge? Because you believe that liberty and justice for all is worth the sacrifices and commitments that it requires. It's worth fighting for. So in Joshua 24, the nation of Israel was now at a place where they had an opportunity to choose who they were going to pledge their allegiance to, who they were going to depend on for their safety, security, their guidance, their rights, their well-being. And in that process, there's this reminder of why you're taking this step. So if you look at the first 13 verses of Joshua 24, Joshua's assembled the people and he's reminding them what the Lord, their king, and Israel was a theocracy, God was their king. He was their ruler over them. And he had promised things to them and in response expected them to give their allegiance, to serve, and that covenant relationship had been established. But as you read these first 13 verses, you'll see that five things that they're reminded of very rapidly that God had already done for this nation. Number one, he had called Abraham and his descendants and made a nation of them. So it says in verse 3 that the end of verse 2 into 3, long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from that land. I brought him to Canaan. I gave him many descendants. I gave him to Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And he talks about the provision that he had made for those sons. It also says he delivered them out of slavery and bondage of Egypt. So in verses 5 and following, it says, I sent Moses and Aaron, I afflicted the Egyptians, but what I did there and brought you out. And when they pursued you in the Red Sea and you cried out for help, I buried them in the water, protected you, delivered you, and he brought them out of bondage and slavery. He fulfilled his promise to them that he had said, I will give you a land of your own. And he gives a description here. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and they sought to fight with you, but I delivered you. And then you came into the Jordan, and these other tribes fought with you. In verse 12, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant. So he gave them a land. He gave them victory over his enemies, many which were bigger and stronger than them. And he also had given them abundant provision, not only in the wilderness with the manna and the quail, but now that they're in the land, they have homes, they have foods, they have crops that they didn't build themselves or didn't do, but the Lord provided them for it. And last week, I think you had a verse that emphasized in Joshua 21:45 says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. And so God delivered on what he promised. That kind of provision and fulfillment, what was promised, deserved their allegiance. It deserved a recognition of their dependence on God and willingness to serve him, fulfilling their duties as citizens of his kingdom. And so when you come to verse 14, and our emphasis is on verses 14 and following here, here's Joshua's challenge to them as he comes to the end of his life. And just like in our Declaration of Independence, the end of it is really a declaration of dependence. This isn't going to happen unless we commit ourselves to each other in this cause. The same thing the Lord is saying to them now. You need to choose who it is you're going to serve, who it is you're going to depend upon. So verse 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will be living. And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the Declaration of Independence was a formal announcement of separation. Within it is a declaration of dependence, an open or formal announcement of who you're relying on and who you're committed to and what your cause you're going to stand for. So Israel is faced, here's your choices. Now, by the way, once that Declaration of Independence was signed, what happened next in the colonies? People had to choose who they were going to serve. And a lot of people said, no, we're still staying with the King of England. And you get the term Tories or Loyalists or others that we feel that's our obligation. And others, but it was tough choices. Because to make the choice of doing this meant you were going to face some real hardships and battles and difficulties. This had to be a cause worth dying for, or you weren't going to sign that thing. Well, the same thing is being presented here to Israel. And here's this question. Will you serve the gods of your ancestors? Now, his ancestors came out of Mesopotamia, and they're focused on worshiping the moon god of that region. They are involved with a lot of astrology. But I think, in a way, to bring an example to us, the question is, are you going to operate and depend upon tradition? This is the god of our ancestors. It's what you grew up with, whether it's religious, social, or moral expectations, whatever. We cling pretty hard to the things we grew up with, don't we? We're pretty reluctant to change some of those patterns along the way. And so we cling hard to religious traditions, even if all they are to us is empty rituals. That's just the way my family always did it, and we do those things. Because clinging to those things the way they have been or always, it doesn't require much risk. It really doesn't take much commitment. It's just kind of maintaining the status quo. He says, you know, you can choose just to keep doing what you've always done and understand with that comes life as it has been with challenges that will be faced in the future. The next question he asked them, they said, if you're going to choose, you're going to serve the God of your ancestors or tradition, or you're going to serve the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And I think the way we would apply that again to ourselves in the sense, Do you assimilate to the culture around you? The Amalekites' religion was a self-serving religion whose focus was on pleasure and prosperity. And so you adapt to the lifestyle of the world you're living in. And these people that are here, this is the world system. Am I buying into the world system and the values of the world around me to give me security and peace and prosperity? And they were just blending in and measuring success by the world standards. And in the process, again, he's reminding them, you end up serving whoever you choose. You're never totally free. You're choosing who you serve, and who you serve is the one who you're depending upon for the success in life. And his third challenge, and the one that he was obviously challenging them with, was, will you serve the Lord? So verse 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. See, serving the Lord is an exclusive commitment. Notice what he says, you're going to have to throw away the gods of your ancestors. You can't just hang on to those religious traditions and depend on them. And recognize the dependence on the world system is adequate. Verse 18 points out, he says, you know, the Lord drove out before all the nations in front of us, including the Amorites who lived in that land. The Amorites, they were depending on their own gods and their own culture and their world system, and it wasn't adequate to stand up to God. And he challenges them again in verse 17. He says, do you remember all that God has done for you? Have you come to understand what the Lord has done for you? We have a tendency to take so many things for granted. So again, in our country, the freedoms and the rights and privileges that we enjoy, we pretty easily take for granted and just assume they're always going to be there. And the same thing has become true in many ways to religious things. There's a tendency to, especially if you grew up in the church, to think I can just do things the way they always were and God's going to just make everything smooth and easy for me. But in here, there is a clear declaration of dependence. Notice what Joshua does in verse 15. It says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, the word declaration is important in this process because a declaration is something that's public and you identify with it and make known to other people. So Joshua was willing to stand alone. He said to the other, this is where I stand. You can choose what you want, but this is where I stand. And he declared his dependence and allegiance publicly, and he backed it up with his life and the commitments that he had made through his lifetime. And then you notice Israel's response. Israel said the right words. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And they give the reasons, because it's the Lord our God himself who brought us up and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs. He protected us our entire journey along among the nations through which we traveled. He drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. So we're not going to forsake or give up on the Lord. We recognize, see, life walking with God has been good. He has provided and done all these things. And we will also serve the Lord because he is our God. His commitment to us as a people and our response, he's looking out for our well-being because we have that personal relationship with him. But notice what Joshua says to them when they say that in verse 19. Joshua says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you even after he has been good to you. So here's this warning. Don't forget who God is. Don't presume upon God. God is holy and God is jealous. And there are consequences from turning away from God. But the phrase that I think is more important than any other is this little reminder. You will not be able to do it on your own power. See, we have this false sense of security about, you know, we're good people, I'm all right with God, everything's good. And the Lord's remind us, you know, God's a holy God. God cannot abide sin. Sin has to be dealt with. Thankfully, the Lord has sent Jesus Christ as our Savior to pay for our sin, to take care of our sin, so that our assurance and peace is in him. And that when they heard that and the challenges, people said in verse 21, the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. It was a public declaration of their commitment, and Joshua says to them, you know, you're witnesses against yourself. Here's your commitment. We're going to hold you to it. And you can expect to see things play out the way. But the key in all of this, as he says that, is that you yield your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 23. If this is really your commitment, Joshua said, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. See, to come to know the Lord truly as your Savior and to be depending on him requires wholehearted commitment. It's willing surrender and submission. I'm yielded to God. Whatever he asks or demands of me, I can depend on him. I'm relying on his promise and salvation he's provided on Christ. And I know he's the one thing I can really rely on. Therefore, I yield my heart to him. I'm wholeheartedly committed to live for him, whatever challenges might come down my path. And they respond again in verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. So there's this commitment that comes with choosing. So we face those choices at different stages in our life. Many of you have grown up in the church. At some point or another, you may have placed your faith in Christ as Savior. But many of you, as you've grown up, this is what I grew up with. Somewhere as you enter your teen years, and often especially when you graduate from high school and you're out on your own, you're going to face it. Who are you going to serve? Who are you depending on? Is it tradition, what you grew up with? Is it the culture I'm currently in and I just blend in and go along and measure my success by what everybody else is doing? Or is it my own personal relationship with the Lord with wholehearted commitment that governed me each step of that journey? Because ultimately what Joshua's pointing says, that's the only thing you can really depend on. All those other things will fail you in the end. You can only depend on the Lord. So I challenge you today, what is holding you back from declaring your dependence on God and pledging your allegiance to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? Now, as I said today, I had you do these pledges for a couple reasons. You'd pledged allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. So what has the Savior done for you? Remember what it said in that pledge? Crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. If you're going to have eternal life, if you're going to have freedom from sin and its bondage and its consequences, there's only one place you're going to get it, and it's with Jesus Christ and his provision. But that provision demands your allegiance. Our Sunday school class, walk worthy of your calling as a child of God. He gave his life to free us from the bondage of sin and death. He provides eternal life and true freedom to those who yield to him fully. And to serve tradition or worldly values only leads to death and destruction. But the sad thing is it's the easy way and it's the broad way and it's the way most people go. Because they're comfortable with it till the day they faced eternity and stand before the King. We also pledged allegiance to the Bible. Why would we pledge allegiance to the Bible? Because it's what? I pledge allegiance to the Bible. God's holy. It's God's authoritative word with his instructions. It's the final authority for my life and practice. If I'm going to serve God and obey God, I have to listen to his word and do what it says. I'll follow its guidance. I'll obey its commands. That demonstrates my love and obedience, but it also does what else? Remember the last part of the pledge? I will hide his word in my heart that I might not. See, it allows you, when you practice and obey God's word, to avoid sin and all its devastating consequences. It protects us from harm. So here's this challenge. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you declared your dependence on him by following him in open obedience of baptism and church membership and a public declaration? This is the Lord whom I serve. And do you serve him wholeheartedly all the days of your life? That's the clear message Joshua is putting in front of them. Choose this day. You're at another point in your life of choosing and making decisions. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we recognize and honor commitment and service in our country and in our nation. We also recognize commitment and service in the body of Christ. We're thankful for faithful people who have gone before us and set an example, like Joshua in the Old Testament and many within our own church family as we celebrate our own church history. But eventually it comes down to our each individual response to you. Choose this day whom you will serve. May you draw each one here today, recognizing what you've provided for us in Christ, that is the only source of life and liberty. And may they respond in faith and obedience and service. In Jesus' name, amen.
New hymnals to 335. We're going to sing the first and second verse of Who is on the Lord's Side, on the second verse, if the elders will come and prepare the communion. Number 335, Who is on the Lord's Side?
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helper, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Not for weight of glory, not for crown and palm, enter we the army, raise the warrior's song. But for love that claimeth lives for whom he died, he whom Jesus nameth must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
chapter 11, where we read often about communion. It's interesting how the service today blends into what you should be thinking as you're considering taking communion. Whose side are you on? That's he's asked. Paul comes in and says they're all getting together and they're abusing their dinner time together. Some of them have, some of them don't. They don't take care of each other. They don't really love each other the way they should. And then they go in to do communion, and they're not really prepared to do it. They're not thinking about the Lord, thinking about themselves. And in a sense, when we come to communion, it's a time when we ought to reflect and say, and probably we should reflect it every day, who are we serving? Whose side are we really on? And as we come today and we do this, that's really what he comes down to. For he comes around and says, should I praise you in the way you're doing things? Certainly not. But this is what I received. I received from the Lord what I've also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Because whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And ultimately, you proclaim your allegiance to that, your belief, your faith in what he's done. So as we come to communion today, we need to think that through just as a message that whose side are we on? And as you take of this, if you're not on his side yet, you need to be on it first, because otherwise, really not worthy to take the communion unless we're on his side. Gracious Father, we're so grateful that your Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to this earth to die for us, to take our sin on the cross, to shed his blood, to die and to rise again, doing it because he loved us and to give us life. Help us, Lord, to be so committed, even as we take today, that we would remember what you've done for us and say, as for myself, I'm going to serve the Lord. I believe. So help us as we today rejoice in what you've done. Help to be with commitment, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
that night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Gracious Father, what incredible love that you would die, blood would be shed, only the pure Lamb of God that would take away our sins, wash us clean. You love us no matter what, once we're your child, we're yours. We're thankful for the shed blood that removed all our sin and made us clean, that we might stand in your presence, that we might call you Father, that we might know Christ as our brother. Help us as we commit to loving you to continue to grow, to desire to serve you, and to be so committed that the world will know that we are your children. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Same way after supper took that cup, and in a sense we're renewing that covenant in a sense every time we do this. In the same way after supper he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So word of prayer. Gracious Father, is so unique to remember what you've done for us, to know a love that is so committed that you would pay the total price to draw us into your family, to make us acceptable in the beloved. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time when we can rejoice in what you've done, when we can leave once again reminded and ever thankful that you have paid the price for our sins, that you have brought us into a family that has only hope ahead of us. The best is still to come.
We look forward to the day when we look you in the face and see you as you really are. Till then, keep us committed and growing. We'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.
Music.